Blog Talk Radio.
AG on them keys and them drums, aye.
Fantastic day to be here just one more time, amen. I am so blessed and honored, amen. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, February 5th. I am your host, Pastor D. You are listening to the Jubilee Affair. Again, it is a great day to be alive in the flesh. How are you doing, my friends? Come on in. The water is just fine over here, but I don't know about you. I don't know, but I'm excited. I'm happy. I am encouraged on this day. You see, I've learned to count my days and not my struggles. The more that you count your days and not your struggles, you will see just how awesome God truly is. Every day that I wake up is a new opportunity to get things right and in order. Every day I wake up is a new chance to learn something that I did not know. Every day that you wake up is a new opportunity to further your love and your relationship with God, with your fellow peers. Every day you wake up, you have an opportunity to fix a wrong that you made the day before. So when I say that I count my days and not the struggles, I truly do mean it. Because, you know, too many times we get caught up in the struggles. Well, we're going to always have struggles. To be a human being, to have a life, is a struggle. We'll get into that in just a minute, amen. But again, I am happy that you are here listening to the Jubilee Affair. If you would like to reach us, amen, you can always email the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. But as we all know, the quickest way to get in contact is to call the show. The number is 319-527-6218. Again, that is 319-527-6218. Press the number 1 and you'll be placed in queue, and at that appropriate time, you will be able to talk to us here on the show. Amen. But I am always happy to announce that I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba. Greetings to you, sir.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you today? Tonight?
Doing well, doing well. How about yourself, sir?
Same here, same here.
Amen, amen. It's always good to hear you, Doc. Always good to hear you.
Likewise, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for the things that you have done. We thank you, Father, for blessing us, for keeping us, for watching over us, for allowing us to see yet this day, Father God, in the flesh. We ask right now, Father God, that you would strengthen us, strengthen our families, protect us from the enemy. As Father God, as the enemy is trying to devour, to steal, kill, and destroy, Father God, we release a hedge of protection around us. But it only comes through the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask right now, Father God, that you would remove any works of the enemy. We ask also, Father God, that you would continue, Father God, to show us your will and your way. Bless, Father God, your people. Bless those that call upon you. Bless those that seek you. Bless those, Father God, who are asking for you to be their health, their strength. Continue, Father God, to show us why we trust and believe in you. We're forever grateful for the things that you do. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. You know, Brother Hakim, I was in the store the other day, and this guy came in and he said, "Man, listen, I was just wondering, man, if you could buy me some food." I said, "You know, man, go and get whatever you want." So I bought him some food and everything, and then he said, "Man, my son just came up. You think you could get him some stuff too?" I said, "Sure, get him whatever you want." So as we got outside and we were talking, and he said, "Yeah, this is my son, man, and, you know, his mother is deceased, and her daughters, man, I caught them up in a crack house, man, dancing for these guys, man, and I've just been so worried about them, man, and I just don't know what to do. The mother died, and she left them all on me, and I'm listening to his story, and my heart is breaking, and as I look at the son has a smirk on his face. And so I started to say, "Lord, am I being pranked, Lord, or, you know, what's going on? Is he lying to me?" And so I didn't really say nothing else, but I listened, and then the son's friend came up, and as I paid attention to the son's friend said, "That old man still playing that game with you, huh?" And he said, "Yeah, but as long as we get what we want, that's all that matters." So in the midst of this all, come to find out, there are no daughters. Come to find out, this is not even his son. And come to find out also is that this man is a well-known drug user. And so I almost kind of got upset. The human in me kind of got upset because not only are you coming up with a story, but you are trying to utilize this story to get money and to get, you know, you're really causing for me to pray for you, and you know that I'm praying for you over this situation. You're adding more coals to your head by lying about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me got upset. But God said, no, don't. Don't get upset. You did what you were supposed to do, and in the midst of you doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to be blessed for it. But you would hate to see what's going to happen to him. And so a couple of days passed. I seen him again. I said, oh, man, you know, can you? And I said, no, sir, I don't have any extra change or any, you know, to give you. And he kind of looked at me funny. And I said, where's your son? Ah, oh, man, I don't know. I think he got caught up in some stuff. I said, yeah, I bet he did, man. And I kind of just walked away like that. But I could have actually said a whole lot more. But I was merciful to him, you know, and it kind of broke my heart a little bit. So I say that to say that we have to use something that God gave us, and it's called the spirit of discernment. We have to ask God to give me the right answers or reveal to me what is really going on. Because sometimes people really try to play on your weakness. Whether that, and this is not only me talking about the story, but this goes out to somebody who is experiencing that right now, just as I did. Whether it's a stranger, whether it's not a stranger, whether it's a family member, a friend, a loved one, people can play on your weakness, especially if you have a heart after God. I also will say to you, it's okay to say no. God does not, or God will not punish you for saying no in a situation where you are not comfortable being in. We're going to continue that in a little while as well, amen. But forgive me for going off topic, but it's something that I needed to say because too many times we get caught up. And as Christians, as good people, whether you know, we get caught in situations sometimes and we think that we're doing right and the whole time we're adding to a person's misery. I know a young lady whose son was addicted to drugs, and because she loved him so much, she kept supplying him with the money to get the drugs. And it even got so bad that he even had her going over there to get the money. To get the drugs. Because she loved him so much that she enabled him to do that. And guess what? She ended up passing and getting caught up, dying of a broken heart, because her son took all that she had. We have to learn when enough is enough. We have to say no sometimes. I'm sure we all have stories where we should have said no and we allowed things to happen and it ended up in catastrophe. So I'm saying this to somebody, and God put this on me to tell somebody today that you have to learn to say no. And it's okay. And if you truly listen when God speaks to you, he'll tell you to say no. I bless you anyhow, amen. I bless you anyhow. I'm just going to move on just for a few minutes, amen, and to something that a lot of people love, and that's the listener questions, amen, questions to the pastor. Amen. This person did not leave a name, but they said, thank you for your time, Pastor. But my question is, what do you think about eschatology? Eschatology, and it's amazing, eschatology is the last days, dealing with the last things. And it's more of a Catholic teaching where it is thought on, where the thought of eschatology is where the people will, what will happen to the people during the last days. And I'll say this, by that time, if Jesus is not the head of your life, you're in trouble. Mary can't do nothing for you. If you find yourself praying to Mary and saying, Hail Mary, full of grace, but you do not acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you think that he is secondary to Mary, I promise you, it won't end well. Jesus said as he was preaching, as his mother and his brothers and his sisters came up to greet him, and Judas Iscariot said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are here to see you. Jesus said, who are my mothers, my brothers, or my sisters? All who are here and all who follow my Father in heaven are my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters, and my family. Blessings go out to Mary, who was the vessel to bring Jesus into this world, to raise him, to teach him. But after he became the man that God had called him to be, Mary was just that. A loving mother, a mother who loved her son and her children to follow. That does not diminish the love that she had, but that's what she was. But getting back to what you asked, I would say that the last days, dealing with the last things, should only be focused on the love of Christ. If we are somehow left behind, as some believe in the rapture where Jesus will come and remove his people from this earth and take us to a paradise of heaven. If that is your belief system, but somehow you are left behind, amen, because none of us know if we are truly going to make it. There will be a lot of gnashing and a gnashing of teeth and a lot of crying for those who are left behind. Even myself, I'm not guaranteed entrance. I only hope that something that I've done in this life will guarantee me entrance on during that time. But if not, then it is my responsibility at that time to deal with what I have to deal with. And during those last days, it's going to be a lot of craziness going on, worse than 20 times, 50 times worse than what we deal with now. So it is my prayer that none of us is left behind. It is my hope, and this is why I do this job that I do, this calling that I do, that I may reach every soul and every person, that they may be saved by the grace and saved through Jesus the Christ and reconciled back to God. That's my take on that. That's what my hope, my wish, and my prayer. Listener X, how can you follow a white man's religion? You ought to be following your African roots. Listener X, are you aware that the Bible clearly states that everything started in Africa? That there were four river heads that went out. The Bible clearly states that in Ethiopia, in Genesis, that there are diamonds in Ethiopia. Are you aware that the people in Africa may not have called him the same name that they call him here, but God was still God there in Africa? Now, yes, you're right. There are some different African religions out there, but I will promise you one thing, that I'm saved by grace. Whether it was a white man that taught me, a black man that taught me, whether it was a white woman or a black woman that taught me, I am saved by grace. Now, that is my belief. That is my point of view. That is my worldview. What your worldview is or what you believe in, it's okay to believe in what you believe in. If you follow your African roots, follow your African roots. There used to be a time in my life when I would say, if it was not Jesus, I didn't want to hear it. But now I will tell you, after taking a class in my bachelor's program when I was in school a long time ago, I took a class on world religions. And I have to just simply say to you, if that's your belief system, believe it. If that's what you do, if that's what you believe and that's where you are, that's okay. Because all things stem back to the God above. All things return back to God. So either it's now or later, you will find yourself going right back to God. And saying that it's a white man's religion, I don't believe that. I believe it's an all man's religion. But it's up to you. However way you see fit, it does not remove my Jesus from me. And until I am proved otherwise, and I'm talking about proved by anything other than man, I'm going to believe this. You see, I'd rather die or live this life believing in a Jesus and die and find out that there isn't. What hurt or harm has that done to me? Nothing. Or would you rather live this life not believing and die and find out that there is a Jesus? Which one stings your mind or stings your soul? I'm sure it's the second one. So what I'm saying to you is, what you believe is what you believe. But don't condemn a person for their beliefs. Don't say a person is ignorant because of what they believe. We can come up with all of these different dates and facts on the fact that, oh, there is no Jesus. Oh, his name was not Jesus. Oh, it was Joshua. Yes, I know that. I understand that. Oh, they give you a white Jesus to worship. No, I don't worship a white Jesus. But I do know that the Bible says that God tests the heart of man, and because he is who he is, do you know that Jesus can come to you in any way that he desires to test you, to see if you truly are who you say you are? Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. You see, to the racist white man, Jesus can appear as he normally is, as man, a man with skin burnt brass, hair like wool, eyes like a fiery furnace. He can appear the way that he is to a racist white man. To the racist black man who don't like to deal with the Caucasians, he can come to you as a blonde hair, blue eyes, as he is depicted in some of these photos. And what would you say? Would you still kiss his feet and say, thank you, Lord, is my question. You see, when we get past this race thing, the doors of heaven will open up for us. I love everybody. Until you prove yourself, and even after you've proven yourself to be a worker of iniquity, I still have love for you. Let go, brother, and let God have his way. This person says, wow, nobody left a name. It says, not a question, but a statement. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. It has helped me throughout this time, and I will always ask God to bless you. Thank you. I truly, truly appreciate that. Listener X again. Oh, Lord. What do you do with the money that the church gives you? Aren't you supposed to preach and teach without being paid? Well, my friend, let me, because obviously you know me. Obviously, you know me, so let me break it down to you. As pastor, I am paid a salary. But also, as pastor, one of my sheep calls me at 3 o'clock in the morning to come to the hospital because somebody in their family, not even them, but someone in their family is sick, and on their deathbed, I get up and I go. Then if someone else calls me in the midst of that call, after going to that hospital, I go to that next one. And my life as a pastor is the life of a servant. God also says that the workman is due his wage. So I am supposed to be compensated for the things that I do. Now, again, do I have my hands in the church's bank account? No, I do not. What they give me is what I accept. Now, you have some that are out here for the money, but me, I'm not. But let me also tell you this, the pastor here works a full-time job as well that has supported the ministry, that has supported my church, that continues to support my life. And we're not talking about a 40-hour work week. Sometimes I may work 60 hours, 70 hours in a work week. But I need you to understand that. You see, where people like to attack the pastors and say we're taking the church's money, well, you know what? If a pastor is able to take the church money, shame on that church. If somebody don't stand up to the evilness that's in that church, then you're allowing it to happen. But as for me, money has never been my drive. I thank God for it. I need it to live. But yes, the pastor do have a nice car. I do have me a Challenger. Yes, I do have me a sports car. But guess what? My job pays for my car. If I stepped away from the church today, all my bills would still be paid. So it's not about money. And what I do with what I get is my response. It's up to me what I do with. And sometimes, most times, I put it back into the church. And it's my business, brother. or a sister. My business. But I spend most of my time blessing the church. Why? Because that's who I am. It's who I will always be. And nobody and no demonic force or nobody being puppeted by a demonic force will ever be able to change that. If you have any questions for the pastor, you know how to send them. You know where to send them. You can send them to the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can contact HubNet. And I don't filter questions. If you have any questions, send them my way. So I want to, for a few minutes, what is your worth? I hope that today that I can be a blessing to somebody. I hope that today, as you listen to this message, that you will learn some things that you didn't know before. You see, your worth is something that nothing, that nobody on this earth can take from you. What is the one thing that you hold on to? For me, my worth is knowing that I am a servant of the Most High God. Knowing that I don't have to fear what man may say or do to me. Because I serve a God who's infinite in wisdom, infinite in knowledge, infinite in all things, Pastor D. But what is your worth? Do you have confidence in yourself? Are you aware, or do you know that God loves you? Do you know that there are people out here who are people who want to destroy you? There are people out here who desire to see you fall. There are people out here who prey on your downfall. And there are many times that these are the people who win in the situations. And you may ask yourself, why? How do they win in a situation when they're praying for my downfall? They win because we allow them to win. We allow them to have access to us. And in the midst of them trying to bring forth self-doubt in us because we sometimes allow them to have access to us, we become our own worst enemy. You see, the devil just needs one little hole to be able to get into you and to stop you from walking for God. The devil likes to get in and he likes to stop us from serving him. And then when we stop serving him, our worth and our value becomes nothing. Why? Because we stop doing the work that God has called us to do. So my question to you is still again, what is your worth? Are you worth what God is placing into you? Do you understand that God has invested into you something that nobody can touch, something that nobody can find, and it comes to you through the blood of Jesus? And when you are given, or when the blood of Jesus falls down upon you on that first time, you become more valuable to God than anything in this world. Why? Because you have been reconciled back to God. And when you have been reconciled back to God, you become at that point a person that can be used to reach other people. And when you have been called to reach other people or to simply bless somebody in the midst of their struggle, you become worth more than $1 million. You become worth more than $10 million. I want you to understand something, that you are worth more to God than anybody on this earth. Do you understand that God is saying that I can utilize you in ways that you have never seen before, but I need you to understand something and stop allowing the enemy to infiltrate your camp. Stop allowing the enemy to come in and set up shop. Stop allowing the things of this world to penetrate your spirit and to stop you from moving forward. You are in a race of faith, and every time you stop to think about yourself, you stop running. And every time that you stop running, somebody or the enemy runs ahead of you, and he sets up traps for you. And when the enemy sets up traps for you, you find yourself falling, because every time that you stop running, you start walking. And the more that you start walking, the more you start looking within, the more you find yourself tripping over those blocks. But I want you to understand one thing right now. Your self-worth and the worth that God has placed in you is far above all rubies, far above all diamonds and all gold. And it, and when you find that, when you find that your self-worth is way up here, when you find that the things that God can do for you if you allow God to do it, when you find, when you stop making excuses for yourself and start doing what God has called you to do. You know, I used to be like that. I used to make excuses for myself and say, oh, no, I can't do that because I just don't feel like I'm able to do that. I don't feel like I'm worthy of this. And sometimes I'll tell you, people will tell you that I'm my biggest critic, amen, at any given time when I screw up. And because I know that I screw up a lot of times, I'm my worst critic. I get down on myself. But guess what? I have learned, and I'm still learning, to let that go, because at the end of the day, you give your enemy a wormhole. Stop looking. Stop allowing the enemy to tell you that you're not worth it. I remember growing up, walking down the street. Lady once told me that I am a menace to society. And that you'll never be worth nothing. I had a teacher tell me that one time too. Because yes, I was hard-headed in school. All I wanted to do was talk to my friends. And I could be completely honest with you all, because y'all are my family. School was boring to me. Why? Because I knew most of the answers on the stuff that they were asking or they were trying to teach. And I don't know how I knew it, but I knew it. And thus the teachers used to hate to see me coming. And I heard a teacher say, you will never be worth nothing. But we never know how the enemy uses people to try to tear you down. You have to know that you are worth it. You are worth it because Jesus gave up his life so that you may live. Jesus gave up his life so that you may walk the walk. Jesus gave up his life so that you may go out and reach somebody. Jesus gave up his life so that you may be happy, not sad. Jesus gave up his life so that you may be a free man and not a captive. Jesus gave up his life so that you may be able to see your self-worth. You see, when the blood of Jesus fell upon me, it made me rich. If I don't have another dime in my pocket, I am heir to salvation. And salvation is richer than anything that I can think of. Somebody here needs to understand that you are worth it, that your husband, oh yeah, I'm going to go there. Your husband tells you all the time, you're not worth it. Your wife tells you, you ought to be thankful that I'm here with you because nobody else would deal with you. You got friends who sneak diss you. And they claim they're your friends. They're only around when they need something or want something. You better be careful who you call friends. You better be careful who you call, even in this day, you got to be careful who you call associates. They all try to beat you down. But I'm here to let you know, you are worth it. Why? Because the Lord said so. You are worth it because if Jesus had not died for you, you wouldn't be here anyway. So because he died for you, you are worth it. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody here needs to know that when this world tries to tell you, you can't do, when this world tries to make you feel as if you are nothing, you tell them that you stand on the shoulders of Jesus the Christ, the crucified Messiah, who took all the beatings, all that he did, so that I may live. And because he did just that, I am worth everything. I am worth to him more than any cattle that you can see. You know, well, I'm here to let you know. In the biblical times, the cattle and the sheep and all that you have, that was your self-worth. But the God is saying that you are above all of that. Every dime that you have made in your life, you are above all of that. Every time someone tries to tell you that you're not worthy, you tell them, I'm worth more than that. We need to start putting this enemy in his place. You are worth the healing. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're worth the healing. Oh, Lord, I don't deserve to be healed. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, I don't deserve that money. Oh, yes, you do. I don't deserve no good thing for the life that I live. Oh, yes, you do, especially if you have given your life over to Christ. You are worth everything. We find ourselves, the issues of life and death flow from the power of the tongue. Begin to speak life over yourself. Begin to say that you are worth it. You are that job that you want, you're worthy of it. There have been jobs that I've gotten, amen, and I didn't even know how I got it. But guess what? By the glory of God, because I have been a blessing to so many people, by the glory of God, I've gotten them. And love the fact that God has blessed me in that situation. Love the fact that God has put me around godly people who understand and know my vision. I'm here to let you know that when you start to speak life over yourself, things will happen in your life that you have not ever seen, but it takes for you to understand that you are worth it. It's time. You want more? It's time. You see, I'm not stopping here. One day, you're going to hear me be called bishop. One day, I'm going to be master chef. One day, I'm going to be on top, because you know why? Because I'm worth it. Because my Jesus says that if I just call on him in the midst of my situations, even when I find myself not having the strength to be able to do it, Lord, be my strength. Oh, I'm preaching to you this evening. That's my secret to my success. Lord, be my strength. Help me to see what I'm doing, that I may be better at it, that I may learn so that I may teach someone else. Because, Father God, if you gave it to me, I know that I'm worthy of it. It's time that we stop killing our blessings from using our mouths to do so. It's time that we stop it. What is your worth? If you can't say to me that you are worth every drop of blood that Jesus dropped from that cross, if you can't tell me that you believe in your heart that you are worth every blessing that God has given unto you, then something is wrong. God has positioned you to be a blessing to people who don't even know him for themselves. I take pride in loving on people. Love covers a whole multitude of sins, according to that good book. And I take pride in it. Because if I can love on somebody, I can change the attitude. And if I can change your attitude, then that means that then at that point we can then work together to change somebody else's attitude, change somebody else's. Then everybody learns their worth. I ask you, what is your worth? And if you don't know your worth, if you don't believe that you are worthy of every great thing, I now turn you over to Jesus, because you are worthy of his blessings. You are worthy of his anointing. You are worthy of everything that he has for you. I often tell this story about a man named Tom. Tom died and went to heaven. And as Jesus met him at the gate, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a tour of your new home. And as Jesus was giving him a tour, Tom saw a door with his name on it. And he said, Jesus, is that my mansion? And he said, no. He said, what's in that room? He said, you don't want to know. So they went on a tour and they came back around to that room and he said, Jesus, if you will please tell me, I need to know. I'm intrigued about that room. And he said, you really want to know? He said, I do. He said, let's go in. And as Tom opened up that door and he's seen a big warehouse as far as the eye could see it, all these boxes had his name on them. And he said, Jesus, what does this mean? He said, these are all the blessings that you could have had if you had just asked for them. I need you to learn your self-worth. Learn that you are worthy every great thing. I pray that this blesses you. I pray that this opens up your eyes. And I pray that you will allow God to use you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Brother Kim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word, a shout out?
We have quite a few people on tonight. If anyone wants to get live on air, just press the number one key. It'll let us know. We can bring you right on. You can have a conversation with the pastor. This is your time. Let's take full advantage of it.
Amen.
Press the one key.
Amen. This is your time. Right,
pastor,
speak.
We have someone.
Amen. Oh, amen, amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hi. Hi, Pastor. I just wanted to say thank you for your word. You might know me, but you do know me. My name is Vernita, Miss V. I work with you. And it's just
amen.
Such a blessing to get this word this evening.
Amen. Bless you, Miss V. Bless you. Yes,
and I
ma'am.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Amen, amen. Thank you. It is a true a blessing to hear from you, and I know that God is still utilizing you, and let me tell you, he's not done with you just yet. Amen. He got more blessings coming your way.
But I just thank you for that good word this evening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Be blessed, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else that would like to give a word or amen or just...
We just brought in the second person.
Hey, ma'am. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Oh, man, I haven't heard this voice in a long time. My good brother Darius, how you doing, sir?
I've been doing good. I saw the advertisement about on here on Shoebox talk about knowing your self-worth, so I had to listen to it.
Amen. It is truly good to hear your voice, and I'm so happy that you are doing well.
Yeah, just it just probably motivated me to probably do more, but like you said, it's always okay to say no because you got to know your worth and you got limits.
And that's the truth. That's the truth, and that's what it's all about. And I tell you what, man, you know, when you learn that you deserve better because you are better, that's when the doors open up for you, brother. And so
yeah.
In any area of your life, if you find yourself thinking or feeling that you can't do something because you don't have the knowledge or you don't have the know-how or you fear falling down, just remember that Christ gave it all for us. He did it. He did. And when he died on that cross, he killed all of those spirits that hang on to us that tries to tell us that we don't deserve it.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Remember that, bro.
Oh, yes, yeah. I will remember that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bless you, Brother Darius. It's always good to hear your voice.
Yes, good to hear your voice, too.
Yes, sir. Thank you. As we are down to the last few minutes, amen, is there anyone else that would like to give a word?
No one else has pressed the number one. Still have a few moments left here, folks. If you want to get your word out before we go off air, now's your time.
I just want to say while we wait that it has been truly a blessing. This day has been a blessing, amen, and I'm just so grateful to everyone that I have come in contact with this day, amen, and I pray nothing but blessings upon each and every one of you, amen. We have just about one more minute if you have a word that you want to give in. We have just about one more minute. As we prepare to close, I just want to say to you again, know your worth. Know who you are and whose you are. And you will go far. On behalf of Miss Michelle, on behalf of the good brother Hakim, brother Darius, Ms. V who called in, bless you. I am Pastor D. Until next week, it is my prayer that you are covered in the blood and that Jesus, always remember this, Jesus is King. God bless you. May God keep you. We are signing off.
AG on them keys and them drums, aye.
The king of what?